Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. You can't see it or feel it, but your phone and your internet connection emit radiation. Telecom companies and many mainstream scientists say there's nothing to worry about. We need more science. Researchers who closely study this issue say there is a link between wireless radiation and certain types of cancer, neurological disorders, and sperm counts. The California Department of Public Health recently added some new information to the mix. After being sued, they decided to release draft guidelines for reducing exposure to cell phone radiation. They say use a wired headset, don't store your phone in your bra or your pocket. We have been doing shows about this issue for years, and the new documentary, Generation Zapped, dives further into these issues. We're going to hear a trailer from this documentary. In the trailer, you will hear from Ali Johansson, Associate Professor in Neuroscience at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. You will hear one of today's guests, Ellie Marks, founder of the California Brain Tumor Association, George Carlos, former chair of the Wireless Technology Research. He had that job in 96, and Joel Moskowitz, Director of Family and Community Health at UC Berkeley. And here's the trailer for Generation Zapped.
If I ask you how much more radiation does penetrate your body today compared to like 10 years ago, is it twice as much, three times as much? No, it's a quintillion times more. That's a one with 18 zeros.
In France, they had some of the first adopters of Wi-Fi. Now they're recognizing that the Wi-Fi is potentially harmful to school children, so they're getting rid of it in elementary schools.
Could where you carry your cell phone make you sick?
Radio frequency emissions from the school's strong wireless network has triggered headaches, nosebleeds, and nausea.
Smart meters are replacing the analog meters on your home.
Some say such meters are making them sick.
Nobody has taken into account the cumulative radiation that we are all getting, especially children.
Had there been pre-market testing, cell phones never would have made it into the marketplace.
The manufacturers actually tell people in the instruction manual, which I've never read, not to put the cell phone against your ear.
Radio frequency radiation are in fact cancer-causing and are perhaps a cause of neurological diseases and cognitive problems and developmental problems in children.
The wireless industry spends $100 million a year lobbying the Congress. So it's really hard to go up against the power of this industry, even when you have the facts on your side.
We urgently need more research. We have almost no U.S.-funded research in this area.
Scientists decided it was time to counter the industry claims that there is no evidence.
Good evening. The World Health Organization today said cell phones are possibly carcinogenic.
It puts it in the company of several other kinds of things, like lead, as well as engine exhaust and chloroform.
These are all things that immediately will reduce your exposure. Use a wired earpiece. Concentrate on speakerphone.
A wired computer classroom will not expose your child to radio frequency radiation.
I do have a certain sense of optimism that eventually the right thing will happen, like it did with tobacco, like it did with asbestos.
And that is a clip from the documentary Generation Zapped. It screens tonight at the California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco, 7 o'clock, room 304. That's 1453 Mission Street. You can find the trailer and ticket information at yourcallradio.org. And I should say that actually both of today's guests were featured in that clips. Ellen Marks is founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, an advocacy organization focused on preventing health impacts from cell phones and other wireless systems. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Rose. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Cindy Sage. Cindy co-owns the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. She specializes in writing about the public health effects of electromagnetic fields and radio frequency radiation. Cindy and her colleagues have written a major report on electromagnetic fields and health risks. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rose.
It's great to have you. I was so struck when George Carlos, who served as former chair of wireless research, technology research in 96, said, had there been pre-market testing, cell phones never would have made it into the marketplace. That's an amazing thing to say. Ellen.
That's quite an amazing and true statement. Unfortunately, the FDA deemed since microwave ovens were safe, that cell phones were safe. And the man who was responsible for that ended up going to work for Motorola for about 3 or 4 decades after that. So this revolving door started way back then, and the public does not know the truth that cell phones as used today and as tested today are not safe. They're not as safe as they could be.
Because this is controversial, as so many scientists say that more research needs to be done, the telecom industry says the same. Ellen, tell us a little bit, and you go by Ellie also. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I got involved in this almost 9 years ago. My husband was unfortunately diagnosed with a glioma, a malignant brain tumor. And about 10 days later, Senator Ted Kennedy, the same exact thing happened to him, a seizure and diagnosis of a brain tumor. Our son had worked for Senator Kennedy, which was ironic, and because we live in California. And he started hearing from people back in D.C. that the Kennedys felt that Ted's brain tumor and then subsequent death could have been a cause of his, could have been related to his cell phone use. So I became very interested in this topic, obviously. My husband was an early adopter, used a cell phone beginning in the mid-80s, used it all the time for business purposes, held it to his right ear. The tumor grew in the right frontal lobe. I sent his information out to scientists all over the world, and they, you know, many got back to me and said he seems to be the poster boy. I sent his cell phone records and his medical records. So I got very involved. I testified to Congress on this. I was on a lot of TV shows. And since then, I've become kind of ground zero for those affected. Mm. And I have a very, very, very sad long list of victims who, with you know, who have had or died from brain tumors, salivary gland tumors, breast cancer from keeping it in their bra, people who have lost children to brain tumors where they had a cell tower in the school. So it's just a very sad public health risk that the industry is manipulating and our legislators are not doing enough.
The people that you're speaking about, they now testify in front of legislative bodies. They also had a large gathering at the Commonwealth Club to share their stories.
Yes. Yeah, we did several years ago. Many, and sadly some of them are now deceased, that were there. We did have Dr. Dever Davis was speaking at the time, and Dr. Dever Davis, Joel Moskowitz, and I had made a movie called Mobilize, which focused on this issue, and many of these people were in it. And we had a little march over to the CTIA, the Cellular Telecommunication Internet Association's last convention in San Francisco, because they were angry with then-Mayor Newsom that we passed the cell phone right to know legislation there, which would put the advisory at the point of sale instead of hiding it in the manual. So yes, we had a gathering of victims there, and sadly since then our list has grown. Yeah. Generation Zap, which you mentioned, focuses on this and also on the cell tower issue and on electrosensitivity.
Cindy Sage, you run the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. You specialize in writing about the public health effects of electromagnetic fields. You and your colleagues have written a major report on this issue. Tell us a little bit about your background.
You know, I've been an environmental consultant and scientist looking at these issues since 1989, and one of the things that we recognized early on in our work was that there was very little collecting of the evidence and very little translation of that evidence about health effects in a form that the public could access and use. And so in the early 2000s, a group of international researchers that I've worked with for many years decided it was time to put together a compendium of this evidence and to provide it on the web rather than peer review publish it, but to provide it so it could be downloaded for free around the world. And it is a document that grows, because since 2007, when we first published the Bioinitiative Report, as it's called. We've updated it three or four times, and we continue to provide access to the latest science and public health consequences of what we know today about wireless technology health risks.
Tell us a little bit about how much has changed over the years. As you said, Ellen, you've been involved for 9 years, and a number of doctors and scientists in the documentary Generation Zapped said, you know, when these cell phones came out, we just did not do research, and it's going to take a long time to gather the data that we really need. So tell us what has really changed over those years.
Well, what I have seen is there is more and more excellent peer-reviewed published science proving that cell phones are indeed causing brain tumors and other cancers, sperm damage, like you mentioned before, damage to fetuses. This is very serious, and the science is there, and the industry will use the words inconclusive science, or some of the federal agencies, which are unfortunately run by industries, are using that phrase. We have enough solid evidence that cell phones are indeed causing biological damage and cell towers and other wireless devices. So I've seen that change. In 2011, we had the WHO issue a statement that that wireless radiation is a possible carcinogen. We've had the CDPH did just issue, finally. They suppressed this document for almost, I think it was 8 or 9 years. They issued a precautionary advisory to the public not to hold the cell phone in your bra or in your pocket. We've had the Berkeley Right to Know cell phone right to know law pass, which is implemented in the stores so people can see this at the point of sale. And we've also seen people, I think there's a change in people. I think that they're realizing the addiction factor is becoming more prevalent now. And my focus on this, and Cindy's and many other of my colleagues, is about the public, about their health, but more about the physical health. But now we're seeing something about the addiction and the mental health. And two Apple advisors just recently spoke out to our investors, I'm sorry, spoke out to Apple saying you're not being socially responsible. Yesterday, Mark Benioff said that social media, Facebook, is equivalent to tobacco. And he's upset. He wants more government regulations. And I was actually surprised to see somebody who used to be quite good on this issue, Lieutenant Governor Newsom, say that he thinks that the tech industry, should not be regulated. Well, these industries are spending more and more money, influence our legislators. So what? And I don't understand why government should not play a role in something that is very addictive and very unhealthy for children. Cell phones used by children is extremely unhealthy. They absorb more of the radiation, and this is a very serious concern. It's children, teens, and young adults especially.
We've done a lot of shows about that.
Yes,
Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, he just came out yesterday and said tech should be regulated.
Absolutely. Yes, and I agree with him.
Cindy, what can you tell us about the changes that you've seen over the years when you have studied the science?
Well, you know, I think for us, it's been a matter of a very rapidly evolving body of science. And, you know, I'll speak to the scientific and public health, you know, basis for what we know today. It's far stronger than it was 10 years ago. And, you know, the argument goes something like this. You know, people that do work independently in this field say we have more than sufficient evidence to warrant really strong public health actions today, particularly for children. People who represent an industry point of view or are health physicists or people who are more involved in electronics and engineering will say, well, you don't have causal evidence, meaning you don't have absolute proof. And this has been the focus of argument for as long as I have been involved. And I think what Ellie has done is remarkable to bring the science, as it's grown stronger and stronger, into the public and into decision-making venues to say, look, we have more than enough. We already know enough to take really strong action, and we need to do it today, because if we don't do it today, we are sentencing another generation or two to things that cause cancer, things that can cause neurological disease, and we have the evidence to back it up. The one really big piece in this that Ellie didn't mention in her long list of really good observations is that we now have very strong animal evidence. To this date, the U.S. was never willing to fund very many studies on animal toxicity, and that's one of the things that you need to move forward. We have a lot of human evidence, a lot of cellular evidence, but we didn't have animal studies. Well, after 16 years, the U.S. federal government National Toxicology Program published its preliminary results and found that, in fact, radiofrequency radiation that comes from cell phones and cordless phones and so on caused significant increases in malignant brain tumors and also in a very rare form of heart cancer in schwannoma cells. And these are exactly the same cells that you see in human epidemiology studies or studies of humans and cancer. So we shouldn't be waiting any longer to take really significant actions. And yet we have not been able to get legislators to pay much attention yet.
Ellie, as you said earlier, the World Health Organization has described cell phone radiation as a possible carcinogen. I mean, this got international headlines. Well, if you were looking for it, I guess. But it says that, quote, despite extensive research, to date there is no evidence to conclude that exposure to low-level electromagnetic fields is harmful to human health. So on the one hand, the WHO says cell phone radiation is a carcinogen, but on the other hand, it says there's no evidence to conclude that if you're exposed at low levels, there's anything to be worried about. That was a little confusing.
It's very confusing. In fact, their website says at the top that they deem this a possible carcinogen based on an increased risk of malignant brain tumors associated with mobile phone use. You go down a paragraph or two and it says there are no adverse health effects from cell phone use. And I wrote to them, Dr. Emily Vanderventen, and I got an answer back. I said that, you know, to me, a malignant brain tumor is an adverse health effect. And I got a bunch of double talk back. So, you know, this is industry influence, the WHO war gaming is what we call it. But I do want to say also what Cindy said is very true about the USNTP study, and we are going to get more results, we hope, in February, which will back up our concerns. Now, the scientists who are on the IR committee of the WHO who deem this a possible carcinogen, many of them are saying had they had the USNTP study in hand at the time, it would have been either a probable or an absolute carcinogen. And the public needs to know this. This is very serious, even at the possible level. If you're giving a cell phone a child a cell phone at 10, we might not see the ramifications for 20 years because of the latency period. The public needs the right to make informed decisions for themselves, and that's why we need more out there about this.
One of our colleagues has a one-year-old niece. I mean, they're being given phones at one. She can't even talk, but she's swiping the phone to see different photos. She goes on her computer and starts swiping it.
Right. And my advice would be, first of all, not to do that, but if you are going to do it, absolutely make sure it's on airplane mode.
Again, when we go back to the WHO and saying exposure to low-level electromagnetic fields, mm-hmm. Now, a layperson, you wonder, well, what does this mean, exposure to low-level electromagnetic fields?
I double-checked with Dr. Bain, who was on the committee, you know, does this mean all things wireless? And the answer was yes. So this includes cell towers, baby monitors, Wi-Fi routers, everything. So it's not just cell phones. And yes, of course, this is terminology that the general public does not understand. And they are getting confusing messages. Even the CDPH release, there's articles that have come out in the New York Times saying it's ridiculous that it's okay to duct tape the phone to your face. So the industry infiltrates everywhere. And like I said, they're wargaming the excellent science and what the CDPH has done and things like that. We do hope that more states will also put out something similar to the CDPH so that people hear about it. It's all about raising awareness, and we'll take precautions. And it's simple precautions. Nobody's advocating that we give up this technology.
Ellie Marks is founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association, an advocacy organization focused on preventing health impacts from cell phones and other wireless systems. She got involved in this issue 9 years ago when her husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. We're also joined by Cindy Sage. She co-owns the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. She specializes in writing about the public health effects of electromagnetic fields. She and her colleagues wrote a major report on electromagnetic fields and health risks. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. We have done a lot of shows about this issue, and we're just getting a lot more information as time goes by. So what questions or comments do you have about cell phone radiation, wireless radiation? I mean, so many of us, a lot of people sleep with their phones. We've got laptops in our bedrooms that are connected wirelessly. We're just surrounded by it. So if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. If you work in the industry, we'd love to hear from you. If you are a doctor or a medical professional, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org, tweet us at Your Call Radio, or leave a comment on our website. Cindy, what are some of the questions you think still need to be answered?
Well, you know, in terms of people becoming sensitized to electromagnetic fields, we have a really big issue to still deal with, and it's one of the newer issues emerging. There are many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who have developed sensitivities to exposures, and once you become sensitive to these exposures, you start triggering with reactions that can be very debilitating at levels maybe a hundredfold lower than the average person might react to. And what that means to me is that we have a growing body of people who are going to be disabled to some or some very great degree that may interfere with life, work, and where they can live and how they can participate in society. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that is very difficult to bring to public attention, because most people today who have some recognition that it affects them or a family member don't have proper access to medical doctors who understand the issue, and they don't know what treatments are going to be available to them. So this is something we're going to see more of if we don't get a handle on the absolute explosive rollout of wireless technologies that affect virtually every part of our lives today, and much of it is involuntary.
And in the film Generation Zapped, we are introduced to people who have what's called electrohypersensitivity. It's currently not a recognized medical diagnosis. In the film, people say experts are divided. There are very few doctors who deal with these issues, and they're very expensive. So coming up after the break, we'll talk more about that and the symptoms. We also learn from the film Generation Zapped that the wireless industry generates $146 billion in income every year. Here in the U.S., there are over 200 million cell phones in use. Globally, almost 5 billion. And this is also amazing to think about. Prior to 1984, wireless technology was only used in the military. And now you can't really go anywhere without seeing people staring at a phone. Today, we're joined by two women who are featured in the documentary Generation Zapped. Ellie Marks is founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. Cindy Sage co-owns the environmental science firm Sage Associates. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
Your call is better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK, toll free. You can also send an email to yourcall@klw.org or leave a comment at the show's website. Set a bookmark for yourcallradio.org, and you can also tweet us at yourcallradio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will speak with Peter Edelman about his new book, Not a Crime to Be Poor, The Criminalization of Poverty in America. When people are fined for minor crimes and they can't pay their fines, they often end up in jail. It is just one aspect of systemic inequality in the criminal justice system. We will also be joined by Brendan Woods, who is a public defender in Alameda County. I hope you can join us for that. And then Friday, it is our media roundtable. We will be talking about immigration, DACA, Syria, and then we're also going to talk about media coverage of Mark Farrell, who is now the interim mayor of San Francisco, just voted in. It was a very surprising vote last night, so I hope you can tune in on Friday. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's show, we're talking about cell phone and wireless radiation. We've done a lot of shows about this over the years, and we're just getting a lot more science and information about how radiation actually does affect public health. Today, we're joined by Ellie Marks, founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. She got involved in this 9 years ago after her husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Cindy Sage runs the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. She and her colleagues have written a major report on electromagnetic fields and health risks. And Cindy and Ellie are both featured in the film Generation Zapped. It's going to be screening tonight at the California Institute of Integral Studies, 1453 Mission Street in San Francisco at 7 o'clock. You can see the trailer and find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. We're going to get to calls in just a minute, but before the break, we were talking about electrohypersensitivity. And in the film, we meet some people who have this. And experts say it's currently not recognized as a medical diagnosis. Very few doctors deal with this. Ellie, what are some of the symptoms?
Some of the symptoms of electrosensitivity or electrohypersensitivity are migraine headaches, heart palpitations, vertigo, tinnitus, ringing in the ears, fog, brain fog. It's debilitating to many people. And I, even myself, suffered a bit of it when our neighbor's smart meter was just about 3 feet from our master bedroom. So unfortunately, I know about it firsthand. It's a very serious problem. It's happening to children who are being exposed to Wi-Fi in school 30 hours a week and then going home and having Wi-Fi at home with nosebleeds, unfortunately, mental health issues, neurological damage. So our medical community needs to wake up to this, and they need to recognize this. Many people are being told that it's psychological, see a psychiatrist. It's a very sad thing. Just because you can't see this, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, doesn't mean it's not there. Mm. It's there.
You know, it was so interesting in the film. Sometimes I think about when I'm on the train and all these people are on their phones and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Or if you go to a movie or a ballet, the phones are right next to you. And in the film, they sort of colored the radiation emitting from the phones, and it was just everywhere.
It is, and that's what I said at the end of the movie, during the movie, nobody's taking into effect the cumulative mm-hmm. amount, and if you could see it, you'd be overwhelmed by it. Plus, the FCC standards do not protect us. They're not based on non-thermal damage, and that's what the science is showing. They're based on thermal damage. So we're finding disease and electrosensitivity at levels thousands of times below the FCC limits. Plus, you have, if you're sitting in a classroom, like you said, or on a train, you're getting all the different devices which are radiating, including the router. So it's very serious, and we need our government to reassess these standards and base them on biological.
And Rose, if I could, you know, one of the special groups of concern are people with who have, for example, neurological problems or cardiac problems, and they have implants that contain metal. People with pacemakers or defibrillators that are implanted, or in particular deep brain stimulators for Parkinson's, are particularly vulnerable because the electrodes can actually be shut down by these radio frequency signals that come from other people's devices. And this is a completely unprotected class.
Before we get to calls and emails, we're bombarded. A lot of people want to know what precautions they should take.
Well, it's actually fairly simple. if you have to have Wi-Fi at home, which there is an alternative, Ethernet, use Ethernet if you can. If you can't, at least turn your Wi-Fi off at night when you're not using it, or turn it off during the day when you're not using it. Nobody should be exposed to this 24/7, especially if it's not in use. And put your cell phone on airplane mode. Do not keep your phone on while it's on, in your pocket, in your bra, anywhere near your body. Even the manuals or the phones tell you to keep it a certain distance, but they're hiding this information. And limit your use. Keep your landlines. In fact, we're doing an event February 5th at the Commonwealth Club about reinventing landlines and about wireless radiation and alternatives to 4G and 5G. So there's very simple things we can do. Keep them away from children. They should only be using them in emergencies. And simple, simple precautions that are just pretty much common sense.
Cindy, what would you add?
Well, I think that, you know, for every wireless device other than talking on a cell phone, there's a wired alternative. And I would really encourage people to go and now look at some of the newer websites where you can actually find solutions for creating, designing and building a house that's entirely wired and have no loss of technology. In fact, probably better and more secure internet, certainly better signal and so on. Mm-hmm. As Ellie says, that there's a solution for most everything except for people who need to get out and work and travel in environments that are very heavily laden with radio frequency. And for those people, you know, you may want to be looking at, some people have to wear shielded clothing in order to go out and do their shopping. I mean, these are extreme examples, wow. But they're becoming so much more common. And we think this ought to be reversed. We think the technology is here to stay, but it doesn't have to be rolled out in the manner it's being rolled out. For example, we didn't need nearly the amount of spectrum producing radio frequency radiation when we were only talking on cell phones. But now that everyone wants instant data and video streaming and all the other things that have come with new smartphones, it has just massively increased the amount of radio frequency flying through the air. It's entirely unnecessary and really ought to be rethought.
I have been seeing a lot of new products. In fact, I just bought this new case for my phone that says it'll limit radiation. Of course, there's no way that I could ever know if that's true or not. What do you think of all these new products that say, buy our case and your radiation exposure will go down?
You have to be very, very careful with those. I know there was a San Francisco radio station that just did a special on this. It was on KGO, and they tested a number of these carrying cases and radiation-reducing devices and found some worked partially, some made the situation worse. So as you say, it's very difficult to know. But the safest thing you can do is to turn that phone off or put it on airplane mode for the time that you're not actually using it and greatly minimize the amount of time that it's actually on.
And also to use it, put it, your phone on speaker, right? So
absolutely.
Try to hold it about an arm's length away?
Yeah, speaker phone. The wired earbuds, but the ones with the plastic at the top are the best. And you asked about the radiation shields and such. Even the CDPH on their precautionary sheet said don't rely on a radiation shield or other products claiming to block RF energy. So I don't endorse any of those. I think that they might give people a false sense of security because if they really did work, how would you still be being able to use your phone?
Right.
Yeah. And Cindy brought up the point about there's too much and it's not needed. And can we talk a little bit about
sure.
SB 649? That was a law that Governor Brown vetoed. We did a lot of lobbying to get him to do so. And it was going to bring, unfortunately, cell towers to about every 2 to 8 homes throughout California in order to enable the future 5G. And this is very serious. We can't have these relay systems. 5G is fast, but it doesn't penetrate walls. We can't have these this outside of people's homes and outside of schools. This is just, it's ridiculous. It's harmful. So he did veto it. However, the federal government's trying to preempt it now with many laws. It'll probably come back again. And what happened after it was vetoed was very interesting. Telecom, mostly Verizon, went into affluent communities. So much for closing the digital divide that they talked about. They went into Alamo, Piedmont, Hillsboro, Montecito, and they sort of ambushed these communities with 4G, and which they will turn into 5G. And many, we saw a change. Many of the residents, many came out in droves saying, we don't want this. And they, you know, Verizon got up in Alamo and said, we're giving you 5G. We're giving you the Internet of Things. They said, we don't want it. We want safe technology. And it wasn't just a NIMBY thing. So this is something that I'm seeing a change in. Mm-hmm. But we're very fearful of this because it's all about industry making more money. And it's not, like Cindy said, something that we need or want. So we have to be very careful. If people see this coming back, they need to fight it in their communities. It's happening in Santa Rosa now. It's happening in Petaluma. And there seems to be a revolution going on against this, which is terrific.
Ellie Marks is founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. She got involved in these issues 9 years ago after her husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Cindy Sage runs the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. She and her colleagues have written a report on electromagnetic fields and health risks. Ellie and Cindy are featured in the new documentary Generation Zapped. It is showing tonight at the California Institute of Integral Studies, 7 o'clock, 1453 Mission Street in San Francisco. And then Ellie will be on a panel at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, February 5th at 5:30, called Reinventing Wires, the Future of Landlines and Networks. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Pete in Santa Rosa. Hi, Pete. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, first I wanted to point out a little bit of an irony, but then give you some background on things to consider for low-level exposures. The irony is that you're all talking over a radio station, and you are using radio waves to project your voices. And you're doing that at about 1,900 watts from Twin Peaks. So you are also contributing to the IRF environment. But in any case, some of the things to consider, I haven't personally taken a position on low-level exposure. High-level exposure is definitely harmful. But on low-level exposure, you have to consider the frequencies that are in use, their harmonics, how much bandwidth that frequency occupies, meaning how far it spreads across the frequencies. Another important characterization is what's called the modulation, the way the information is put on those frequencies, and the levels of threshold effect on a person. But to study all of that, it is very complex. And that's a moving target because the technologies you're addressing today, which is just cell phones and not broadcast stations and everything else that uses radio waves, is in constant change. So the frequencies that are being used, the modulation techniques that are being used, are going to be different in 2 years than they are now. So if there are low-level effects, they may be different in 2 years than they are now. And there is not that much research going on the specifics of all those interactions.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Pete. Cindy, do you want to take that one?
You know, Pete, I wouldn't take exception to your comments. But this I would say, and I'm looking at someone who has probably reviewed 10,000 or more studies in my career on this, and we've published repeatedly on what the overview would be. What have we learned from doing that? With respect to radio frequency radiation, our latest update in the BioInitiative, specifically on DNA damage effects from radio frequency radiation, shows that about 90% of the studies show an effect and only about 20% of the studies do not show an effect. And it doesn't seem to make very much difference what the frequency is. All frequencies appear to be biologically active, and none of them are being exonerated. So regardless of the moving target argument that you make, and it's absolutely true, technology yesterday was 800 to 900 megahertz for cell phones, and you know, now we're looking at Wi-Fi going up to, you know, 2450 megahertz, and then 5G comes along, and we're looking at very, very much higher frequencies in the gigahertz range. But none of these are without biological effects. And I would go back to my original statement. We already have more than sufficient evidence of adverse effects to kick in some very strong preventative actions for further exposures. And we should be looking at reductions across the spectrum and not introducing new technologies, particularly untested, in the hope that maybe they're going to be the ones that aren't harmful.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in. Let's go next to Carol in Albany. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for this program. I'm one of these people who's using a landline. I have been, will continue, and I only use my cell phone as little as possible. And my question is, I haven't heard you talk about how these electromagnetic waves are affecting bees and killing bees, which I have read some articles about, and I wondered if you want to or know about that or want to say something on the airwaves about that, because I think it's critical. Our bees are critical. And do you want to comment on that, or do you know about that?
All right, thank you. Ellie or Cindy?
Well,
Ellie.
Maybe Cindy knows more about the bee issue. I have heard from many of my colleagues that, yes, this is affecting the bees. But I do know that the Department of Interior wrote a letter several years ago to the Department of Commerce stating that cell tower radiation was killing and harming the birds. And this is a very serious thing, and wildlife. So, yes, it's not just human beings, and we have to look at the whole environmental spectrum here. And maybe Cindy can comment more on the bees.
Oh, there's so much to say about this, and I'm really glad it came up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've given court testimony in a number of proceedings as an expert witness, and in one of those, I actually quoted the World Health Organization publication indicating that bees are extremely, and all pollinating insects are extremely sensitive to electric fields. And in fact, if you look at the electric field around a power line, for example, at power frequency fields, this is like a Berlin Wall for bees. They can't move from one almond orchard to another to do their pollination. So these are facts that have been known for a long time. The other thing I think that's important is that there have been a flurry of new scientific publications on this, and not just from people who work in radio frequency sciences, but documenting that bees actually use electrical signaling and signals from flowers to go nowhere to drink and pollinate. So you can draw a direct line between the proliferation of really significant levels of radio frequency radiation in the environment and the effect on pollinating insects like bees.
Wow. We've done a lot of shows about bees, but we haven't spent that much time on that angle, so maybe I will add that to our list. Thank you, Carol. Important question.
Mm-hmm.
Carol said that she uses a landline, and I was just thinking about my mom. She uses a landline, but she has a wireless phone to use with the landline. What about that?
Are you talking about
a cordless
phone? Phones are just as dangerous, if not more so, than a cell phone. And I didn't learn this until we were on the Dr. Oz show many years ago. I think it was in 2009 or 10, and Dr. Joel Moskowitz was there with us, and he said, by the way, folks, this is not just about your cell phones. This is about your cordless home phones, too. And I went home and I got rid of them. So please be careful. That base station in your home is like having a little mini cell tower. So we recommend wired landlines and other wired devices.
And if I can just throw in something there, what Ellie says is really important, because it's not just when you're using the phone and holding it to your head. That is almost every cordless phone today is as powerful as a cell phone is, so that's bad. But consider that the base that you put it back into when you're not talking is really like a little mini cell tower. It's radiating radio frequency radiation 24/7 at levels that approximate a wireless router. So if you already know to unplug your wireless router or wire up and don't even use one, you may not know that you're getting the equivalent if you have a cordless phone. And in the U.S. today, you cannot buy one that doesn't operate that way. In Europe, they have those that have non-radiating bases for them, but you can't buy them here. And if you go look at a store to buy a cordless phone, if it says DECT, D-E-C-T, on it, or IDEN, I-D-E-N, you want to stay away from those if you want to avoid wireless.
Wow. Well, thank you for calling. Let's go next to Siri in San Francisco. Hi, Siri. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. I'm interested in your take on the iPads because I know that you mentioned cordless phones and you've mentioned baby monitors, but I used to work at a school where children would use iPads around the clock, and I was seeing health effects from that. I even had a parent come to me and say that if his son was on it for too long, he would get a sty on his eye, and if I could monitor how long he was on it. And then there were the less obvious signs, like distractibility and other things. And so I'm just wondering if you can speak to iPads and how they compare to, say, cell phones as far as radiation.
Yeah, iPads are emitting a lot of wireless radiation. And I believe the iPad tells you that nobody reads in the manual to keep it 8 inches from your body. And, you know, a lot of people are using them in bed at night. And, you know, students are using these in school all day long. And it's not good. It's the same thing, and we need to be careful about our exposure. Unfortunately, cancers in the head and neck are increasing, and other cancers throughout the body. And yes, it's iPads, laptops, which I think they no longer call that, but people are still keeping them in their laps. So yes, we do need to be careful with all of these wireless devices.
Cindy, anything to add on that?
I mean, there are lots of good scientific studies now showing how much wireless devices like this, iPads and laptops, cause in terms of radiation, and they are definitely enough to affect male fertility in terms of sperm quality and sperm motility, also an issue for testicular cancer. Unfortunately, one of the largest increases in childhood cancer is testicular cancer in boys age 15 to 19, and we think that this has a direct relationship to boys who have been carrying their cell phones in their pocket or on their belt or using devices in the lap. So this is an extremely serious problem, and scientists that I work with and researchers are lobbying very hard to get iPads and wireless learning devices out of the classroom at all levels of education. And I've just published a paper on this, which in a journal called Child Development, which looks at the effect of mobile phone technology on children and adolescents. And we were surprised to learn in this multidisciplinary paper from our colleagues that, in fact, where technology has been introduced heavily into academic settings for children, we're not seeing gains in academic performance. We're seeing reductions in academic performance. So this is, and you can go directly from the effects seen back to the science and see where cognitive effects that are negative may be occurring and why, biologically, bioelectrically, where, and headaches and a brain fog and changes in behavior, changes in immune function are all occurring as a result of the introduction of these technologies, and they ought to be coming out of the classroom.
Ellie, there's some new research connected to what Cindy was just saying coming out of Sweden, right?
Yes, I just received this last night. The title here is Cancers in the Head and Neck Are Increasing. And one of the industry ploys is that they keep saying that brain tumors and other cancers associated with cell phone use are flatlined. And this isn't true from what I'm seeing here. This is brain tumors, thyroid tumors, pituitary gland, mouth, tongue cancers are highly on the rise in Sweden, and it's in starting in 50 to, I think, 70-year-olds who have been using this technology for a long time. In the United States, we had the Zeta study from USC, which showed that the areas of the brain closest to where the cell phone is held, there was a great rise in young people with GBMs, the worst brain tumor that there is. But it flatlined because other areas of the brain were not on the rise. So this is something we're very seriously looking into, because this is the real data. When you see that these cancers are increasing, I do want to comment on the testicular cancer. My daughter is 31, and she's had a couple of friends just within the last month or two, young men in their 20s with testicular cancer, and they're not only are they keeping the phone in the pocket, but they're driving with it between their legs. And this is something people should really take seriously. Do not keep these phones near your body when you sleep during the day. Put them on airplane mode. Keep them away from you.
We haven't talked about fetal exposure yet, but I've reviewed a couple of scientific papers that have been put in for publication, and these are good papers. They have been published, and what they are showing is that maternal use of a cell phone during pregnancy has an effect on fetal brain development, leading to behavioral and cognitive, meaning learning problems, in that child by the time they're in elementary school. And this really ought to be a wake-up call that if you carry your phone on your own body, you may see a cancer. But think about what you're doing to a child you may be carrying if you're a woman who is pregnant and opting to use and or carry a cell phone on your body.
We are almost out of time. We have so many more questions. Just quickly, we can't take your question, Ed, but he wants to know if the cell tower on his house is safe.
I would say absolutely not. And I would do everything in my power to try to get that cell tower removed.
He says he doesn't read any radiation with a meter.
That's surprising.
Hmm. Well, we're going to do another show, Ed. Is there a place where people can go? Because we're getting so many questions about what they should do. And if the phone is off in the drawer, is it still emitting things in the middle of the night? If the laptop is shut but the wireless is still on, is it still emitting radiation?
I think the best sites to go to are www.saferemr.com, Dr. Jill Moskowitz, UC Berkeley, Dr. Deborah Davis, www.ehtrust.org, and then my website is calibta.org, and we have precautions there. And people can learn about the science, the precautions, what's going on with the collusion between our government and the industry. And there's a lot of information there, and people just really need to know that they're hearing mixed signals in media, and this is definitely a problem.
Ellie Marks is founder and director of the California Brain Tumor Association. Cindy Sage runs the environmental sciences firm Sage Associates. They are both featured in the new documentary Generation Zapped. It is showing tonight at the California Institute of Integral Studies at 7 o'clock, 1453 Mission Street in San Francisco. Ellie will also be on a panel at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco downtown February 5th at 5:30, Reinventing Wires, the Future of Landlines and Networks. Ellie Marks and Cindy Sage, thank you both so much for your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.